We'll turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and we'll seek the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask for his help as we come to consider his word tonight. Let us pray. Eternal God and a loving Father in heaven, we thank thee that we can look unto thee, and we can rejoice in thy so great salvation. We thank thee for the fountain that flows from Calvary. We rejoice in the blood of the Savior that was shed for sinners and rebels to God. Lord, Father, this night, as we come to consider thy word afresh, thou would draw very near to us, close us in with thyself. As we consider this passage of Scripture, the lessons that we have here, that thou would indeed teach us and instruct us in these things. Speak to those outside of the kingdom of God and draw them to thyself, we pray. Father, bless us, give the help we need, and we pray in the Savior's great and glorious name. Amen. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and we're going to read again together the verse 12. The Word of God tells us, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord." Earlier this year, we marked another anniversary since the Titanic set sail across the Atlantic on its maiden voyage. That ship that was built here in Belfast, it looks set to achieve a speed record as it crossed the Atlantic Ocean. Several ice warnings from other vessels had been radioed on Sunday, the 14th of April, 1912. Some of those vessels came to a stop that evening, but the Titanic sailed on to its tragic destruction. It was April, and the danger of icebergs were well known in that particular area. The messages had been sent to the vessel. If only those messages had been received and heeded, and the ship had stopped, things and events may have been slightly different. When we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the same thinking applies to our passage here and to our text in verse 12. This passage of Scripture records for us the reigns of four kings of Judah over a period of some 22 to 23 years. The kingdom of Judah is in a continual downward spiral, and it is clear and evident that these kings, as they reigned, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Our attention has been directed in verse 11 to King Zedekiah, or to Mattaniah, as he is referred to over in 2 Kings chapter 24. This king was 21 years of age when he began to reign in Jerusalem. He reigned for 11 years. Verse 12, which we've read already together, tells us that he sinned against the God of heaven. But verse 12 also tells us one of the great things that he did. It tells us that he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. As the prophet of God brought the Lord's message, and as he gave those warnings, and as he told those who were there with the king, and the great warnings that came from the God of heaven, the king failed to listen. The king failed to listen. Tonight I want us to consider together, quite simply, failure to heed the preacher. Failure to heed the preacher. Notice here, firstly, when we come to consider this passage, that we see the warning from Zedekiah's reign. We see the warning from Zedekiah's reign. And this man was a king who, as we've said, reigned in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and we see his sin. His sin. The judgment of God came upon him, quite simply, because of his sin. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to that separation from God. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 32. In Numbers chapter 32, and the verse 23. Numbers chapter 32 and the verse 23. It says there, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord." And that last phrase, "and be sure your sin will find you out." Be sure your sin will find you out. And what that verse is teaching is that there is always a consequence to sin. Sin will always find us out. Sin is always known to the God of heaven. You see, tonight, God knows your sin. God knows those things that you have done that are in rebellion to Him and to His law. Others may not see your sin, but God sees it. The warning from Scripture is clear. Be sure your sin will find you out. And when we consider King Zedekiah, his sin found him out. He faced the consequences of his sin, not only in this life, but he faced the wrath of God in that which is to come. I want you to consider here the individuality of his sin. The individuality of his sin. In verse 12, we read those words, "He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God." The actions of this king brought desolation upon the land of Judah. It brought the wrath of God down upon the nation and down upon this particular king. However, the Word of God tells us that this was his sin. He was the leader of the nation, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. His predecessors upon the throne, as we can read in the early verses of this chapter, did sin against God, did do evil. But his sin was not their sin, and their sin was not his sin. You see, we see in verse 12 that he had his own sinful record. He had his own sinful record before the God of heaven. I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, because this drives home the point that we wish to make. In Ezekiel chapter 18, in the verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the father, as also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." This command, or this proverb, was being used by the children of Israel, and the Lord says, no, it's to stop. They're no longer to use this proverb. And the reason why is because they used it to promote the falsehood that they were being judged by God for a sin that was not theirs. In other words, the fathers have sinned. Those that came before had sinned against the God of heaven. They ate the sour grapes, and as a result, the children's teeth were set on edge. They sinned. And that sin and its consequences had been passed down the generations. But what they were also using it for was to say that they had not sinned. They had not sinned. The wrath of God upon the land, the desolation they faced, was not a result of their actions, but rather it was a result of those who had walked the land in days gone by. The fathers had sinned, but they hadn't. They hadn't. And that was a falsehood. That was a falsehood. If we turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, we see again this particular proverb in view. Jeremiah 31 and the verse 29, it says, "In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. And what the Lord is saying is that those who sin will face the consequences of that sin themselves. And when we come back to King Zedekiah, we see that he sinned against the God of heaven. And now he himself, in this passage, is facing the wrath of God for his own sin. He partook of the sour grape. His teeth was set on edge because of his actions against the God of heaven. Romans chapter 14 and the verse 12, it tells us clearly, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And we are held accountable for the sins that we have committed. King Zedekiah did not have to stand and give an account of the sins of his fathers or the sins of his people. There was an influence there. We'll come to that. But he was responsible before God for his sin. For his sin. He could not blame others. He could not blame the people. He could not blame his advisors for leading him astray. He was responsible for the sins that he had committed. And you see, tonight, sinner, you, in the eyes of God, are responsible for your sin. You have to stand before the God of heaven and give an account, not of your father's sin or your mother's sin or the sin of your children or your friends, but your sin. You are accountable to God for those things that you have said and done and thought that are not in keeping with the law of God. Your sin is your sin. And every one of us shall stand before God to give an account of that sin. And that's a solemn thought. That's a solemn thought. The Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? To give an account of all that we have done. And coming back to Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Do you see, God deals with us regarding our own personal sin. Our own personal sin. The Word of God tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tonight you may say, well, I don't really have any sin. I haven't done those things that are frowned upon by others. I try to live that clean life, not engaging in those sins that, well, in my estimation, are sins against God. I try and live as best as I can. I've talked to many people. That's what they say. They try and live as best as they can, knowing full well that the only way to heaven is through Christ alone, but they try and enter in through works. But the thing is, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned. They have their sin. It's attached to their account. It is their sin. And as King Zedekiah here stands before God because of his sin, sinner, tonight, if you continue in the path that you're walking, you too will stand before God for your sin. Notice here as well, not only the individuality of his sin, but we see the influence of his sin. The influence of his sin. He was influenced by those who had went before him. We read there of various kings who did evil in the sight of the Lord. And while there is an individuality regarding our responsibility and regarding the judgment of sin, we need to be aware that our actions influence others. And here this king most certainly was influenced by others. And as king, he influenced others against the God of heaven and against the commandments of the Lord. when we think of Joseph. Joseph was under the influence of Potiphar's wife as she tried to tempt him into sin. But he stood against that influence. But yet we have King Belshazzar in Daniel 5 who listened to the advice of others, and as a result, Daniel was cast into the lion's den. He was influenced for evil by others. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And here we have King Manasseh. King Manasseh. He was a wicked king. He reigned 55 years, but verse 2 tells us that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had broken down. Here's a king who had that godly influence in his life in the form of King Hezekiah. But he lived a life that was in rebellion to the God of heaven. But as we read this chapter, we see that his life was changed. And we see in verse 13, then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. His life was completely changed. And he went about, verse 15, taking away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord. But despite the transformation in his life, we see in verse 21 about his son Amon. Verse 22 tells us, but he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did that which was evil. Verse 23 tells us, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more. And you see, tonight, there is that influence. That influence. Despite the salvation of this king, his son was influenced for evil. His son was influenced for evil. And we need to be careful because we can influence others for good. We can influence others for evil. Child of God, tonight, how are you influencing others? Are you influencing them for good? Are you influencing them for the kingdom of God? Are you seeking to live a life that bears testimony to the King of Kings? Sinner, tonight, are you trying to influence others into sin? Are they trying to influence you? When we see this particular passage, as king, no doubt there was an influence upon Zedekiah. And he exerted an influence upon others. But for that individual sin, he himself was responsible for it. Our sin influences others, perhaps even to a greater extent, as we see with King Amon. Not only was there the influence of the sin, but we see the increase of his sin. The increase of his sin. Notice that this king did evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 11 tells us that he was 21 years old. He was a young king, but despite youth, he was still a sinner. Despite those young years, he was still a sinner in the sight of God. And as he progressed through his reign, he engaged more and more in rebellion against the God of heaven. Verse 13 tells us that he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. Not only did he fail to listen to the prophet, but he rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. He rebelled against him who was in authority over him due to the situation in the land at that time. And then in verse 14, it tells us, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much. After all, the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. We see that his sin increased. He was engaged in idolatry. He was engaged in wickedness. Those who were the chief of the priests, those who had been placed to guard the worship of God, were involved in the idolatry that was taking place. And this sin increased so much. Notice what it says, verse 16. There was a point in view here, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Till there was no remedy. And picture that this evening, the wrath of God, the wrath of the God of heaven rose against the nation of Judah. Till there was no remedy, until it was too late. It was too late. Zedekiah got to the point in his sin where there was no more remedy. He had despised the messengers of God. He had mocked them. He had brought idols into the house of God, and he crossed the line. It was too late. Too late. And if you continue in sin, there will be that point that the wrath of God will arise until there is no more remedy. The picture here we see from Zedekiah is that he crossed that line. He ignored the pleadings of the man of God. He ignored the warning that God brought to him, and he went forward. He kept moving downwards into sin. Sinner, tonight, is that a picture of your life? Ignoring the great warnings from Scripture, ignoring the gospel message, thinking that all is well, maybe at some point in the future you'll turn to Christ, but not now. We see from the life of Zedekiah that there is an urgency here. There is a time when it is too late. There is a time when you cannot turn to Christ because judgment has already come. We see as well not only his sin, but we see his rebellion. Notice that this was rebellion against King Nebuchadnezzar. He failed to humble himself before the messengers, but verse 13 tells us that he rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. We see that he was put in this position. Babylon was an ungodly nation, but yet because of Judah's sin, the Lord had placed the nation of Judah under the authority and the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar. Zedekiah had made an oath to him, but yet we can find that he conspired with the Egyptians to try to overthrow King Nebuchadnezzar. And as a result of those things, the king came to Jerusalem and the city was destroyed. He rebelled against those in authority, but notice he also rebelled against the servants of God. He rebelled against the servants of God. Verse 12, going back to our text, shows us clearly here that he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. The warnings of God came to him. In other passages of Scripture, in Ezekiel chapter 12, we see, for example, that the warnings of God came specifically to this king, warning him of his path, warning him of the judgment of God. But yet he humbled not himself. He humbled not himself. See, God is just. God is just. We see the justice of God. We see the holiness of God here in this passage. God is standing against sin. God is judging sin. And many today will say, where is the love of God? The Bible says and the Bible teaches that God is love. But when you turn to a passage like this, we do not see the love of God. We see the wrath of God. But God is love. God is love, but God is also pure and holy and just. When we think of all the attributes of God, his holiness and his justice and his goodness, all those attributes that God has are in perfect harmony. He is perfectly just. He is perfectly holy. He is perfectly good. And in this passage, we see the wrath and the holiness of God, but we also see His goodness. We see His grace. Because He sent a messenger, He sent a prophet to warn this king of his sin. And tonight, when you think of the gospel, you may think of the wrath of God. You may think of the great thought that one day this world will perish. When you think of gospel preaching, that might be what you deem it to be, preaching against the wrath of God in hell. And how true that is. But yet, that message comes out of love. It is a warning from God. It is a warning of love, a warning of grace, a warning that proclaims the message of God. And here the prophet was sent with a message to this king, warning him not once, not twice, but time and time again. Verse 15 tells us this. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers. Jeremiah is already in view. But now there's more messengers that have come with a message of God, rising up at times and sending. Why? Because He had compassion on His people. He had compassion. You see, sinner, tonight, the message of the gospel, referring to the wrath of God, but that Christ died for sinners. It is a message of justice. It is a message of holiness. But it is a message of love. A message of love. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. And he rebelled against those servants of God. He failed to listen. We see as well here his captivity. And very quickly we see that he was carried away to Babylon. Such a path of sin led to ruin. A path of sin led to ruin. Tonight, if you continue in a path of sin, that sin will lead you one day to ruin. It may very well lead you to ruin in this life, but most certainly it will lead you to ruin in eternity. Judgment here is certain. 2 Kings 25 verse 7 tells us, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. And so the judgment of God came upon him. The prophecies and the warnings came true. God sent His judgment down upon this king. Is his life not a warning to you? Sinner, tonight, does this life lived by this king not warn you of the danger of persisting in your sin? Does it not show you that if you continue in sin, it will take you to everlasting destruction? This king, as the judgment came down upon him, he would never, never be upon his throne again. He was carried away into captivity, never to return to the land of Judah. All was lost, all was gone. Why? Because he failed to heed the preacher. He failed to heed the preacher. Notice here, secondly, and moving on, and we see the word that must be received. The word that must be received. Jeremiah the prophet and others came, and they spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And we see, coming out of the history that we have here, the history and the warnings from this man's life, we have the necessity of this. The word must be received. The word of God must be heeded. And it's absolutely essential that men and women heed the message of the gospel. Why? Because it is the way of life. It is the way of life due to sin and due to the curse. We face everlasting destruction, but God has prepared a way of salvation. The messengers came to this king and they warned him. They warned him. If he had repented, what would have happened? 2 Chronicles 36 would be very different. Very different. And so for this king, there was a necessity that he received the word why, because it was the only way in which a change could be made. It was the only way in which his sin could be dealt with. It was the only way in which he could be reconciled unto God. And we see the specifics of this message. Jeremiah brought a message, and we see that he did not bring his own message. He did not come to the king and tell the king a message that the king wanted to hear, or a message that he himself invented, that he himself penned. The Word of God tells us he spoke from the mouth of God. He brought the message of God. He brought the message of God. You see, sinner, every time someone tells you of your need of salvation, every time someone warns you of your sin, is it not the message of God? The message of God. Here Jeremiah spoke from the mouth of God. He brought the message that this king needed to hear. A message that came from God himself. From God himself. He hearkened to the word of the Lord, and he brought the Lord's message. It was not an easy thing for Jeremiah to go and to tell this king of his sin and his wickedness. Many have done that in days gone by. They've went into the king. They've told him the message from God, a message of sin, a message concerning wickedness. And that messenger never came out. The king's presence. His life was taken from him. It was not an easy thing. Not an easy thing. But note here that in regard to the word that was received, there was life found in it. Life found in it. The message of God came, but it was a warning. It's instruction to repentance. In Proverbs 6, verse 23, the word of God tells us, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Jeremiah 21 and the verse 8 says, "And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord," speaking here of Judah at this point in history, "Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." The word of God sets before us the way of life and the way of death. Death, if you continue in sin. Death, if you live without any thought of the God of heaven, but life. Life, if you repent and trust in the Savior. It was John Newton who wrote a letter to a man regarding the hearing of the Word of God. He said, "I am glad that you are in a favorable situation where you have frequent opportunities of hearing the gospel." He said, "This is a great privilege." He said, "The faithful ministers of the gospel are all the servants and ambassadors of Christ. They are called and furnished by His Holy Spirit. They speak in His name." And that is what was happening here to King Zedekiah. The men of God were coming with a message concerning sin and the way of life. The Lord sent men to speak in His name. He was expected to hearken unto the word of the Lord. He was a king. But yet that expectation was there. But the word of God tells us he failed to humble himself. Men do not want to see themselves as being under the word of God. They do not want to be bound by the scriptures. They don't want to bow the knee to the God of heaven. And how many over the history of this world, how many have acted in a similar way? They haven't humbled themselves before the prophet of God. They haven't humbled themselves before the message of God. They haven't heeded that which brings life and not death. See, God, in mercy and grace and in compassion, sent these men. Tonight, maybe you've heard the gospel for years. For years, you've rejected it. The Lord has brought you here again and again to hear His word out of compassion. Out of compassion. Out of grace. Out of mercy. Giving you opportunity after opportunity to turn from sin and repent. Will you be like this king and humble not yourself before the word of God? We see here finally and very quickly notice the way that was rejected. The way that was rejected. Zedekiah dismissed and he despised the authority of God. And Judah as a nation, they mocked the messengers of God. They did not listen. They had no time for the message. And quite simply here, they rejected the message of God. They rejected the way of repentance. They rejected the way of salvation. And judgment came upon the nation. But turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 21. Jeremiah chapter 21. And King Zedekiah sends a man to the prophet. And it says in verse 2, "Inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us." You see, this king had already rejected the way of life. He'd already turned away from the God of heaven. And now the armies of the enemy are round about his city. And he realizes that he's one thing left to do. The only thing he can do is to look to the God of heaven. But we see here the response of God. Verse 3, "Thus shall ye say to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, behold, I will defeat the foe." No, no. "I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hand, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans which besiege you without the walls." Verse 5 says, "And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm." You see the might of God, his arm and his hand, symbols of his great power used in the deliverance of his people time and time again. But now they were used against those who have fallen into sin. You see, the king pleaded that the Lord would deliver, but it was too late. It was too late. The line had been crossed. There was no more remedy. There was nothing that could be done. He had crossed that line. And the Lord says, the great end of Zedekiah, his life, his reign, he was carried into captivity. Judgment came upon him. Why? Because the Lord himself fought against those who had sinned and rebelled against him. You see, there is coming a day. There is coming a day when sinners will find themselves the recipients of the wrath of God. There's nothing that they can do. They cannot cry out for mercy, for time has passed by. It's too late. The judgment has come, and the sinner will cry. But yet it is too late. That's what happened here. Sinner, tonight, will you trust the Savior? Will you listen to the message? Will you heed the warning voice and make the Lord your final choice? As we close, it was Matthew Henry who said those simple words. In regard to King Zedekiah, he said this. He said, "If he had made but God his friend, that would have prevented his ruin. If he had made but God his friend, if he had listened, if he had repented, if he had sought the Lord, that would have prevented his ruin." Sinner, tonight, if you make God your friend, if you repent from sin, if you trust the Savior, that will prevent your ruin. May the Lord bless His word tonight for His name's sake. Amen. Amen. Let us close in prayer and let us seek the Lord before we turn to our closing hymn, please. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy grace and Thy goodness. We thank Thee for the precious Word of God, a Word that warns us regarding the judgment that is to come. And Father, we pray that sinners here would not make the same mistake as this particular king, and that they would turn from sin, that they would repent, that they would heed the message, that they would rejoice in Thy so great salvation. Father, part us with Thy blessing, we pray. Would You remember those who will remain for the time around the Lord's table? And bless there, we pray. Close us in with Thyself, and part us with Thy blessing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.